The job of a correctional officer is to keep people safe. But inside prisons across the U.S., allegations of sexual abuse are common. The latest national data shows nearly 6,000 reports of staff sexual misconduct a year. Side Effects Public Media's Jake Harper and Lauren Bavis have this story from the podcast Sick. A note for listeners, the story includes descriptions of sexual assault.
Several years ago, Cynthia Long was incarcerated at the Indiana Women's Prison in Indianapolis. She remembers walking through the prison yard when she saw a guard she didn't recognize.
He kind of did a double take and stopped me and said, "What's your name?" And I told him. He mocked my accent and he said, "Well, I'm going to call you Kentucky."
That guard's name was Lamont Williams. He declined to comment for this story, so what we can report comes from what Cynthia told us and court records. Cynthia's job in prison was to clean one of the units. One day in 2014, she needed to fix a mop, so she went into a supply closet. Williams followed her.
He yanked my pants down and forced himself into me. I'm turning this way, and I'm trying to fight him off and get around. Finally, what makes him stop is there's a woman in a wheelchair yelling for somebody. And that's when he gets done and leaves.
Cynthia says Williams sexually abused her again a few months later when he forced her to perform oral sex.
After each incident, Cynthia chose not to tell anyone. And that's not surprising, says Julia Bate with Just Detention International, a nonprofit focused on ending sexual abuse in detention settings. Women may choose not to report an assault because they feel ashamed or worry about repercussions. Abate says guards control so much of their lives, including who can visit them in prison.
Basically, they can restrict your access to your children, and that is the most powerful form of coercion, I think, that there is for a mother who's locked up in prison.
What is unusual, Abate says, is that the guard, Williams, was prosecuted for the sexual contact. Cynthia eventually reported what had happened to her and turned over Williams's DNA. She had saved his sperm in a tissue after the second incident.
Investigators heard two stories. Cynthia said she was sexually assaulted by a guard twice. The guard said the encounters were consensual. But federal law and laws in most states make sex between incarcerated people and correction staff illegal. Many legal experts like Abate say consent can't exist between a guard and a person they protect.
There's just an inability for a person who's locked up to consent to sexual activity to the person who is locking her up just because of the differences in power dynamics.
Williams was arrested and charged with sexual misconduct, but he was not charged with rape or sexual battery, which would indicate force or a threat of force was involved. Williams pleaded guilty and got 2 years of house arrest and some community service. He did not serve time in prison. Cynthia says the charges didn't reflect what happened to her.
See, that's another thing that upsets me is we're the victims. We don't have a say in the plea. You know what I'm saying? They don't come and ask us, is this acceptable to you? I mean, I'm still a human being, whether I'm behind a razor wire or not.
Neither the state nor the prosecutor's office would talk to us. Even with Cynthia's account and the DNA evidence, a spokesman for the prosecutor said in an email that sexual misconduct was the appropriate charge.
The effects of sexual assault for women like Cynthia can last. Since her release, she's needed counseling, and she still takes medication for PTSD.
We all have ways that we cope that aren't healthy. You know, my weight went up, which has caused me heart problems, and my breathing's worse. I'm on 3 inhalers now, and so I think, am I really coping with it? Probably not.
Julia Bate says prisons need to critically examine when assaults happen to figure out how to prevent them. We asked the Indiana Department of Correction about that. Officials declined to talk to us. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Jake Harper.
And I'm Lauren Bavis.
You can listen to the full second season of Sick at sickpodcast.org or wherever you get your podcasts.